This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, Brock and Salk here, final hour on 710 ESPN Seattle. Don't forget, if you want tickets to go see the Seahawks and Chargers next home game, we did the Pete Carroll show yesterday, and so we put up the video, 710sports.com/win. Go watch that video, and you can be entered to win tickets to go see the game. We will announce a winner tomorrow, Brock, at 8:15. 8:15 tomorrow, we'll announce the winner, and that person will have 5 minutes to call in and claim their prize, which is 2 tickets to go see the Hawks as they host San Diego. So there you go. All you got to do, go watch the video, 710sports.com/win. Seahawks are back from London. I do want to hear from Lydia about this. I should also say, if any of you were there, I'd like to hear some of your stories at 206-421-3776. Lydia, how was it? What was it like being in the stadium? We heard Pete. Pete was almost rattled by how great it was. I mean, he said that Russell thought it was as good as a Super Bowl, like a Super Bowl level environment. Pete could not stop talking about it. I have a long quote. Do you want the long one or the short one?
I want to hear, because it just puts a smile on your face.
The long one.
Here's
or the short
a guy
one.
That has been to Rose Bowls, that's won a Super Bowl, that's done it all. And listen to his just joy.
I know, but to be fair, Lydia's gone to a minor league single-A baseball games in Missouri in summer.
In late August.
And she also thought this was better, Brock. So, I mean, obviously it was pretty good.
Where did the fans come from? We had fans everywhere. It was like they supplanted the 12s. You know, we had people everywhere we went. Anywhere in town, you drove in the buses or wherever we went, there was people everywhere. And then we got to the stadium, and the stadium was crazy. It was a home game. It was not kind of a home game. It was a home game. When the first group comes out on the field, the kickers come out, they're cheering for Seabass and Mike Dixon coming out on the field right there entirely. You know, what's going on with this? You know, and it just carried on throughout, and then the game followed through, and then the trip coming home, and then every single aspect. This is one of my most favorite experiences I've ever had with the team and traveling. I mean, I'm talking about Rose Bowls and Orange Bowls and everything you can think of, the best of the best. This was just as top drawer as you can get. And the players played like it and acted like it throughout the whole thing. So it was an amazing trip.
Would you say Pete was tickled?
Very much so. Very, very much so. And I'm just sitting back here in my chair. I'm down in the studio here in Arizona just listening to that. And it is so easy to criticize. It's so easy to nitpick. It's so easy when things are going the wrong way. It really is. It's a low-hanging fruit. And we so often, especially in our passive-aggressive Pacific Northwest, we don't like praise. We don't like to be applauded. We don't like any of that. But as I sat there and listened to it, what a statement for what this owner has done for the last 2 decades. This owner that passed away. This owner that now we're remembering in ways that we never wanted to at just 65 years of age, Mike. But just his encouragement to be bold and to go for it and to empower Pete and empower Todd Lewicki and to empower this brand to just explode. Mm. And, you know, we don't stick our chests out much, right? Remember way back when I was in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I remember this vividly. I'm sitting up in the press box doing the show on a remote deal. And we talked about, hey, are you okay? Like in 2012, 2013, are you okay sticking your chest out? Are you okay, Seahawks fans, that you're good? That we're good? That this team is amazing, that this team is going to beat people. Like, are you going to be okay sticking your chest out? I mean, we had that conversation. I remember the Arkansas SID kind of looking at me like, what are you talking about here? Like, you know, I said, no, that's real. Like, we don't love that in the Pacific Northwest. We're not front runners. We don't love telling people how great we are. But just in listening to that cut, I'm just reminded of how far this thing has come. And really the credit to Paul and to Pete and to Russell and to the rest of the guys that have made that brand just explode.
Mm.
It's pretty neat.
Lydia, how was it?
It was incredible. From the moment I got there, I saw Seahawks jerseys, not only in the airport, but I only stayed in London one night initially and took the train up to Scotland in Edinburgh, saw Seahawks jerseys littered along the way, whatever stop I was in, and then in Scotland. And I even saw Huskies gear up in Scotland, which was kind of awesome. But I didn't see one Raiders representation until the weekend of. So it was pretty incredible to see the Seahawks presence, as Pete mentioned there. Understandably frickin' jacked, as he would say about it. But yeah, it was in general just to see. I loved to see how the locals appreciated the NFL, which I would just strike up conversations and ask them about how they discovered their fandom, whether it was just they watched a team that they liked, their husband or they did. I mean, it is fun to see all 32 teams represented on
game. I think that makes sense. I mean, if I lived my entire life in England and the best I had was soccer, I would be desperate for the NFL.
Oh, come on.
Like, I would be so happy that the NFL was playing games in my country.
They have,
like,
rugby.
We've spent all this time with soccer. Oh, my God, this is so great. Thank you for delivering us. This is amazing.
Bob condoned. People love it over there. So
they do.
They love what they love.
Well, they love it, but like Allegory of the Cave style, because they don't know what else there is. Of course, they love it. They don't know about the NFL. Once they have the NFL, obviously they will choose something better.
How about this quote tweet from Bob Condotta last night, kind of playing off exactly what you just said, Lydia, and up in Edinburgh. So Bob Condotta stuck around this week with a bye week and says, "I ended up in Edinburgh last night. Talked to a bartender here. I said I was from Seattle. He started gushing about the Seahawks and their fans they brought here. Said he had never seen anything like it for any of the London games played here."
That's awesome. I love that stuff. Yeah, I read that this morning. I love that stuff. It's similar. I love hearing about you know, the way people are represented and the way proprietors like that experience different waves of fans or even of pro athletes. Remember after the U.S. Open was here at Chambers and we were asking all the people down there about, you know, who was great and who came into your restaurant and who was nice. And I always think when you get that sense of how athletes, or in this case a fan base, really acts.
Yep.
I think it's always a cool message.
So. And the UK, so I guess they organize these events leading up to the actual game itself. Usually there's like one event planned by whatever fan base is local there. So the UK Seahawkers, they had four of them. I mean, they had like a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday events planned, and I don't think any other team was represented.
Did you go to
way.
Some of those parties?
We went to one of them, and then the line was so long that we just said, I'm sorry.
You couldn't even get in?
No.
You said what?
You guys are of the media here. You are at the home of the Seahawks on 710 ESPN Seattle, and you couldn't even get in.
No.
We don't carry a lot of weight.
Lydia said, no. She said, no.
No. You guys go enjoy that.
Where did you go instead?
Went to a bar we found called The Dugout, which was pretty incredible, and we watched the Huskies game there.
The Dugout?
Yeah, The Dugout.
It's like a baseball bar?
It was an international sports bar they had TVs everywhere. So we were watching some rugby, we were watching some soccer, and we were watching some college football.
Wow.
You think that there's just a little presidency bias for Pete? Or do you think he really, better than the Rose Bowls and Orange Bowls?
Did you
Bowls?
Say presidency? Is that a new
presidency.
It's like recency bias. But sorry. It's just it's like a recency bias, except you were just there instead of it just happened.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I meant recency bias. But
I was going to let it go. Lydia couldn't help but correct you.
No, yeah. I liked it.
I was going to let it go. Lydia couldn't help but correct
you. No, that's
you.
Okay. No, I totally get that.
Keep it real is what I'm told.
We are about correctness on the show. Keep it real.
It happened since the first year.
Rose Bowls? I mean...
How good is a Rose Bowl? Whatever.
Orange
for a Rose Bowl when you're at USC, it's down the street.
Yeah.
Brock used a new word but doesn't really know what it means.
Presency.
Bias.
Presency bias.
Thank you.
When you're at USC, how exciting is a Rose Bowl? It's down the street. You go there every other year anyway. Like, that's not that big a deal.
Yeah, something kind of unique about that stadium, that day, that whole event, everything that leads up to it, the weeks of buildup and the whole USC nation that just, you know, descends upon Pasadena and everything. I don't know. That's hard for me to grasp in a sense, but it's not. Because I think it's a little bit, and it speaks to and why he was so giddy later in the interview about this team, about the opportunity with this team and with this group of guys that has totally energized this coach.
By the way,
sorry.
No, go ahead, Lydia.
I just wanted to tell you, one of my favorite memories, too, was riding the train there, which was at an absolute madhouse, and you just have no room to breathe. You're just... tucked into the tube with all these fans, but you're in it together because there's only one way to really get there at this point. And to hear football talked about in different languages, I was hearing a group of like German tourists talk about football, and every once in a while you'd just hear Case Keenum or something pop up that was just or. But then just to hear the different
I like when
accents,
you hear English names in surrounded
exactly.
by another language,
or just Minnesota Vikings, yes. or just something. It was so fun.
Russell Wilson.
What about that? Was that Graham Gano guy there? I guess that was Spanish that the guy was screaming about Graham Gano.
Gano.
Have you heard that?
Jess told me about
it. Oh, my God. It's fantastic. Kyle, you got a player.
Gano.
You got a player of the Graham Gano sound. That was a highlight. Where is that thing? I have it in here somewhere. Oh, here we go. I got it right here.
Le ha sobrado distancia. Le van a servir. Tiene altura. Tiene profundidad. Va a llegar. Va a llegar. ¡Ganó, lo ganó! 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 ¡Señor! ¡Ganó, lo ganó! ¡Ganó, lo ganó! ¡Yo sí le voy a los Panthers! ¡Taca, taca, 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 taca! ¡Yo sí le voy a los Panthers! ¡Taca, taca, taca!
What do you think, Lydia? Is that a pretty good call?
Can you translate that last thing?
Oh my gosh.
What's he saying?
No, I think he's doing a beat.
Oh.
Da, 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 da. Yeah, no.
You
that
think
was
so?
I think
you don't
was
think he's saying anything?
Le ha sobrado distancia, le van a servir. Tiene altura, tiene profundidad, va a llegar. Va a llegar. ¡Ganó, lo ganó! 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 ¡Señor! ¡Ganó, lo ganó! ¡Ganó, lo ganó! ¡Yo sí le voy a los Panthers! ¡Taca, taca, 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 taca! ¡Yo sí le voy a los Panthers!
Let's go around the NFL. Kyle, are you going to give us some Spanish cadence?
Cardinals, Broncos.
I just wanted some cadence. All right, we're buzzing around the NFL. Not games, just some stories. And we'll start with this one. Quarterbacks are going off in the NFL, Brock. Rodgers, Brady, Mahomes. Where does Russell fit into this world where quarterbacks have just gone completely insane? Throw Drew Brees in there, even beyond what they were doing a few years ago.
Yeah, it's interesting, Mike, as you kind of look at these numbers. His QB rating is off the charts. You referenced it the last couple weeks has been above .125, and on the season is around 105, continuing to elevate his career number, which is second only to Aaron Rodgers. But when you look at the way that Patrick Mahomes, I'm looking at the names ahead of him in QB rating. When it's Jared Goff, it's Mitch Trubisky, it's Patrick Mahomes. It is some of the young blood that's coming in here and just energizing the league. And it's just, and this weekend was great, right? And we even talked to Pete about it yesterday. It's like, are you okay with how different you guys are doing it? I mean, 47-40 Sunday night. You know, down to the wire in the 30s, 30-30 Monday night, and you guys just kind of slog away. You kind of run it 60% of the time. You chew up clock. It isn't about all these fireworks. It isn't about all these yards. Russ's yards are way down compared to his peers, and his attempts are way down, but that efficiency is way up.
Yep.
And this is exactly what the brand was built on in 2012 and 2013.
So you're going to pay him even more money?
I have no problem, and I will have no statistical measurement other than wins that will gauge his market. That's it. If he gets this team, and they're resetting their turn after starting 0-2, and they win 9 games, he's going to make $35 million, and he should. I have no problem with that at all. He doesn't need to be this NFL, got to throw for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns, and that's going to be the deserving reason for him making market value with Matt.
Well, look,
Ryan
I agree with that. I don't care about Russell's stats and whether or not he puts up those kind of crazy numbers that Aaron Rodgers does. To me, the only problem I have with Russell Wilson right now this year is that in two of the three games where he had an opportunity to win it, he didn't. Right?
Yep.
I mean, he's had opportunities to for the late game final 2-minute drill, and in Denver he fumbled, which was ridiculous. I'm still mad about that, by the way.
Yeah, you should be.
Not at him. I mean, I'm like, he shouldn't have done that, but I feel deprived. I wanted to see what Russell was going to do against that defense in that moment to see if he could bring his team back and actually win the game in the final minute, but yeah, the same thing in game two as well against Chicago, where he had an opportunity late in that game and wasn't able to drive down the field. I expect my quarterback to do those things. That's not going to prevent me from giving him the big money. Look, you know, like we were talking about Graz's theory earlier on getting tired of winning. I don't have any interest in getting tired of winning with Russell Wilson. I'm going to probably pay the guy, but I will at least pause before committing that much money to a quarterback.
I don't get tired of a QB that's got a 3-1 touchdown interception
ratio.
That's
right.
I really don't.
No.
That completes 63% of his passes, that can still use his legs. I will be curious over the next 10 weeks. I said to you yesterday, I think he benefits as much as anybody on this roster of having a bye week and to hopefully get his legs and that hamstring that I do not want to see on the injury report nagging all season long, because they're going to need you know, especially against the Philip Rivers and the Aaron Rodgers and even Matthew Stafford when they come back from break in Detroit. They're going to need, you know, his legs. If you can incorporate that with the run game and the play action game, you're even that much more dangerous.
A lot of people saying that Rabel's going to need to step up his game. Like, if he's going to keep calling Seahawks games in big moments, that he's really going to step it up. Got to step up your game, Rabes.
Is that David Locke mixed in there? Is that mixed in or is that his actual call?
I think one of my favorite parts is just when he adds the señor just to like make it official.
Señor
Gano Lagano.
Just to let people know he's speaking Spanish. Like, don't get this confused. I am speaking Spanish here. I will drop a
Holy Catfish got a way to go, doesn't it?
I mean, it's great. Don't get me wrong. I love when he yells Holy Catfish, but it's not that. Have you ever heard Rabes get down to the beat like that at the end? Don't you feel like that's something?
Pescado de gato? Do we like have to get like Spanish catfish in Spanish?
Just feels like it's something.
Pescado de gato! Pescado de gato!
Something he owes.
Canolo Janikowski! Janikowski really throws it for a loop for the Spanish.
That's tough.
Not made for that.
It's not meant for that. No, that's too bad. What, bang! You like this
pulling
one,
Brock? Pass the favors. He's under the rim. He's fouled. He missed the one-footer. It tickled the quad. He went inside. He went in, and then it came back out.
Poor David Locke. Lost his mind.
Bang! Hey,
what's going on here with John Elway and Von Miller? Can you explain this whole thing, Kyle?
Can I?
Yeah.
I have the sound.
All right. Play me the sound.
Von Miller, Broncos taking on the Cardinals on Thursday. Let's start here. John Elway with some critical comments about the Broncos' defense this week.
We've got very soft in there, and to give up the amount of yards we have the last 2 weeks has been tough. And so, you know, we're not playing very well inside. And, you know, obviously we've played some good teams. The Rams are a good rushing team. Gurley's a very, very good back. But, you know, that is a big, big concern right now. We've got to figure out how to get that solved.
Okay. So he's not happy with his defense. I wonder why. They're not very good.
And then Von Miller yesterday asked about those comments.
I mean, last 2 weeks, I mean, we had a 200-yard rusher. You know, I get where he's coming from, but, you know, that was the last 2 weeks. You know, this week is totally different. We're going to get everybody's best this week. They're going to get our whole team's best, and that starts with me. They're going to get my best this week, and we're going to go out there and we're going to kick their This is the way I'm feeling.
Is it a must-win, Vaughn?
I wouldn't say it's a must-win. We're going to kick their ass, though.
You know what words you don't ever want to hear as a football player? You could call me a lot of things. You could say, man, Brock's kind of selfish. Brock was annoying. Brock was hard on guys. Brock was a lot of things. Brock was scared or Brock was soft. That's just the worst. That's the worst words you can hear as a football player. It's the worst. Oh, he's in that pocket. He was scared. I mean, he got on that field. He was soft. Like, I would imagine for Bradley Chubb and Von Miller and all those defensive players, that's about the most embarrassing thing that one of the greatest to ever play the game in John Elway could say about you. Hey, you're just soft. My team is soft. And I think that response from Von Miller speaks to that. All right. And I don't know if I'd want to be Josh Rosen tomorrow night in the desert.
Well, I mean, I don't know that I'd want to be Josh Rosen in general in the desert or anywhere else. But, you know, it's funny. I mean, this is the exact opposite of what we're experiencing here. When we went through an hour ago, what are the best things about the Seahawks' turn this year? Their physical play has been a number one right at the top, both on the offense and with the new secondary. They're out there hitting and playing a physical brand of football. That's exactly what we're looking for. So. Yep. Yeah, I think quite a contrast. God, what a shame to lose to Denver. What a shame to have that game be on the road in that moment.
Because you know where Denver ranks in rush defense right now?
Terrible.
They're last in the league.
That's right.
They're the worst rush defense.
And if you face them now, you probably run for 250 yards.
Yeah, I think you're playing with
Denver. What a complete shame. And what an embarrassment that Brian Schottenheimer couldn't figure that out heading into the first game of the season. That just stinks. One more. I got one more around the NFL for you. This one just happened here a minute ago, Ron. This is a tweet from Mike Reese.
In New England.
One highlight of Bill Belichick's presser today. When asked if Khalil Mack is up there with Lawrence Taylor, Belichick seemed offended by the question. Wait a minute. We're talking about Lawrence Taylor now, he said. I'm not putting anybody in Lawrence Taylor's class.
Attaboy.
Thank you.
Attaboy. That made your day, didn't it?
It does. As I've mentioned before, interviewing, I mean, people have heard me say this, but had to interview Bill Belichick after every game for 1 year in 2013. It was not easy. Bill does not like talking about anything, especially talking about his team and how they played, and he had no interest in doing the interview. He would generally just sit there and like move his mouth in like this really gross way into the microphone.
Yeah,
I mean, he would do everything possible to sabotage the interview. And when things would go really, really bad, I would just ask him about Lawrence Taylor.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazed dogs. Have some fun.
I would do it like, I probably did it four times.
That was your go-to?
Well, hey, once he's decided he doesn't want to talk about anything else, just at least put a smile on his face and ask him about LT.
Yeah, you mind. You mind, baby.
The beginning of that was great. Yo, Stick, you mind.
Leg with my in the sun. I'm going to break his neck. He would try. Hey, Sula, you better hope I never get back in there. I will kick your.
Lawrence Taylor's the best.
Absolutely terrible.
He's the best player ever in football. I love him. And I got to say, Khalil Mack's good, but he's not LT.
No.
He's not LT. All right, hey, that's a trip around the NFL.
A little surprising numbers. I'm just looking at some stats here I got in front of me. Where do you think the Seahawks defense ranks? I've got Denver. They're the worst in the league. 5.6 yards a carry against.
Okay.
Nearly 1,000 yards rushing they've given up in their six games. Where do you think the Seahawks rank in yards per rush against?
Two teams in the
rushing defense. We think of the Seahawks rushing defense.
They're 10th.
No, they're not 10th. They're 27th.
Mm.
4.7 yards against?
That's a lot. Yeah, they've given up a bunch. I mean, Gurley ran for a bunch of yards against them.
Yeah,
Lindsay did early. And yet it doesn't, I don't know.
It doesn't feel that way.
It doesn't feel like it's necessarily the problem that it's been.
No.
Yeah, maybe that's just on us. Maybe we're not willing to recognize it. But I don't know. I don't know that I've watched them and said giving up the run has really been their problem.
No.
I know that they've probably, I think it's been they've given up some big runs, much more so than it's been 8, 10, you know, these like run after run after run against them. But that's just, you know, that's not actually like studying it. That's just sort of what my gut tells me after watching.
It's your eyes.
I don't know. Watching them shut down Marshawn Lynch, it sure seemed like their rush defense was just fine this weekend, didn't you think?
No, that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Oakland's O-line played a bit of a role in that. But
think so? You don't think they're very good?
Mike, I don't think they're very good. They're the worst in the league.
They made Frank Clark a defensive player of the year for the Air of the Week for the NFC. So kudos to Frank Clark. He certainly dominated that one. That brings us kind of back to the beginning of the show, which is the major changes made by Pete Carroll and the Seahawks heading into this year and the impact they've had. That's next here on Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Next message is Frank Clark's going to make Salk look stupid all season. Well, it won't take much. That's for sure. He looked great in that game, man. And if he can keep playing against Colton Miller, he will end up the year beating Lawrence Taylor. I'm like, he will be that good if
what
he gets
my
to
number?
Keep facing
What
that.
Are we talking about, 10?
He's only 10. I know. I'm going to owe you lunch. It's terrible.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's okay.
We're more than halfway now.
Hey, I'm happy to pay it out. It means Frank's having a good year and helping the Seahawks. I still don't think I'd sign him long term. I still think, you know, for me, I'd probably look at franchising him before I thought about signing him to a long-term deal. But
yep.
I'll tell you what, man, he has been awesome in some of the games and in some of the moments. There have also been times where he just completely disappears, right? I mean, like,
yeah, which is common even for the Von Millers of the world.
Yeah.
And that's why Bill Belichick just scoffed, and even Khalil Mack, like, come on, man. LT, that dude was coked out of his mind, played every play on 100. The guys today, they check in and they check out. So let's not even try to compare to the guys in the 80s and 90s.
Right.
The juice and the coke was flowing, and those guys were just wild.
But LT also wasn't going against the world's best left tackles. I mean, because of him, they started making the left tackle a premier position and paying him and developing it and all that.
Yep.
I mean, he changed it and become.
You know, it's almost like Service said to us about hitting in today's Major League Baseball. And you saw this in the baseball playoffs last night, that when you're up to bat, you get a couple pitches to hit and you got to take advantage of them. And in today's NFL, Mike, there's so much scheme that gets the ball out. Like, you watch those old school 80s and 90s, QBs are taking like 11-step drops and they're just back there and they're not terrific athletes. Mm-hmm. And many of them will just stand in their spot and just get hammered. And, you know, the guys today, there's so much more movement. There's so much more play action. There's more spread. The ball is out. You've got some really good linemen. Then you get chipped and you got a tight. Like, there's only so many really good swings that you get. And when you get a one-on-one, and you get a passing situation or you get an inexperienced guy, you've got to feast on him. And that's exactly, I think, what Frank has done with many of his opportunities this year.
Yeah, that's a really good point. He was awesome in that game, dominant, and that's why he ends up becoming the NFC Player of the Week. We were asking earlier kind of what the Seahawks have done to make these changes this year and what has been the most impactful. I think the first thing you have to recognize is that they made a change. That this idea that Pete Carroll was going to be on his last life here in Seattle, I thought it was ridiculous, and it still is. That he was slipping or something because he didn't make the playoffs one time, it was ridiculous. That he'd lost control of his players. Well, yeah, maybe he did, but it sure seems now like he's taken it back. And so you kind of look at what he's done, and Brock, there's so many different parts to this change he's made with the Seahawks, but he loves it. He loves what his team is doing. He loves the vibe that this team has put. He does. Man, he cut me off yesterday. I was just trying to tell him that I liked it. And he where is this? Here you go. I tried to tell him how much I liked what the team was doing. He wouldn't even let me finish.
I kind of like this team more than I have the last few years. Is that okay?
No.
I just like that there's new stories and new guys. New and fresh.
I like it, too. I can really feel it. I was talking to Vrabel the other day at the stadium, I guess, and he said he senses it in me. You know, that he said, geez, you're all fired up. Well, yeah, I am. I am. Just because of who they are and the way they're going about it. And you can see the future. You know, we've done this before, you know, and these guys are going to take us a long ways.
We've done this before, and these guys are going to take us a long ways. Beginning of that's fun because he sort of cuts me off because he's so giddy. But we've done this before, and we're going to take it a long ways. I would say that's a pretty powerful statement from a guy that people in the national media thought was going to be canned.
Pete needs young blood. He just needs it. He needs the young guys, Mike. He's energized by it. You know, it's interesting on the college football road. I'll hear this, and I'll certainly hear it now as the season gets hard, as injuries mount, as teams' expectations aren't met, and they're out of, you know, championships or everything else. I know I'll hear. I hear it every single year that the young people are so much more resilient. That the young guys are so much more resilient. When we've been on our two trips out of the country as a family, Molly and I were just talking about this the other day, right? We went to Dominican Republic. We go to El Salvador. We get out of our comfort zone. Who's like the most resilient? Now it's our youngest. You know, it's just that young people are the most resilient. And I think for Pete, he so desperately needed it. And in some ways, I think John Schneider would have done this earlier. I think he would have turned, you know, and turned on some of these positions just to get younger, you know. But there's that line between Pete's loyalty and his love for Richard and his love for those guys, yet also knowing, man, he needs young guys to energize him, and he's super energized this year. There's no question. He looked good yesterday. He felt good. His hair was rocking. His shirt was just tight. He was as on point yesterday and geeked as he's been all season long.
So what is the most impactful change he's made?
I said offensive line and Mike Solari. But it's funny, the more that we talked about it, the more calls we took. I was listening to you and Danny just talking about it there in the backup studio. Is, man, there's like eight different answers you could go with. There really is. I think there's a bunch of spots to go. But if I've got to land on one, you were the worst offensive line. You watched the game and your eyes were like, wow, this is a disaster. You can't even function. You didn't even have a rushing touchdown in the red zone from a running back last year. Right, the closest one was 20 yards from a slot receiver / running back McKissick. Is it? You could not function. You were that much of a mess. And now, over the last 4 weeks, according to the same people that graded you as the worst, you're the best. You're the best pass-blocking team in the NFL over the last 4 weeks, and you've been the most dominant running it right at people. So to me, it's got to be there.
I don't mean to feed your fire when it comes to this conversation about whether the run affects the pass and this, that, and the other. But do you think the fact that they've been running the ball as much and as well as they have affects that passing grade, that pass blocking
1,000%. More than that. Yes. Yeah, because I just said to you earlier about Frank Clark, you know, in the number of swings that you get. Man, and if you're a D lineman, you know what the Seahawks are doing to you? You're throwing cheese at your chin every single play. You're like, this isn't even fun. Like, okay, I can back out of it. All right. You know, I can be intimidated a little bit. You're just good. They're constantly just, and when Fluker is pancaking you and they're humiliating you and they're running it 7 straight times to begin the game, how charged are you to even rush? And then, oh, by the way, it's a bunch of play pass. So it looks like the same run that you're just slamming at me and humiliating me with. So, yeah, man, it's you know, like Pete says to us all the time on these Mondays, when it comes together, you know, and you run the football. It completes that circle. Mm-hmm. Third downs are more manageable. And you go 9-13 on third down, and the pass rushes, you take the stinger. That's probably what I loved, the picture that was always the most clear to me from the Tom Lovatz and the line coaches I was with, Howard Mudd, like, you take the stinger out. They can't sting you anymore. When you run the ball, they just don't have it on that side.
Right. So, it's not so much that your pass blocking has gotten better.
Correct.
It's that their pass rushing is not as good.
Yes. And compare that to what we've had the last few years.
That's a really cool way of looking at it.
Compared to what the Seahawks did to the Raiders.
When you can't move the ball running it and you're not even trying at some point, everyone's just teeing off against
you. They mocked you. They laughed at you. They just absolutely took pictures as a group on your opposite
side. They had games against you like Frank Clark just had against the Raiders.
That's exactly right.
And they managed to stop all that with their physical play, with a dedication to the run, and with a couple of guards finally, with Fluker and DJ, and Sweezy rather, who are physical and mean and are completely changing the complexion of that offensive line.
Football is so hard, Mike, from a numbers perspective. And I really appreciate the Ben Baldwins. And I love some of the analytical side of it. And from a game management standpoint, and when you make some choices, and I think there's huge, huge benefits to analytics. And in 10 years, I think it will be the game at times and some of the decisions. It will be looking remarkably different than they are today. But when it comes to completing a circle, and even Baldwin, when we had him on, Ben, a month ago, he even said, he's like, it'll never be like baseball. I get it, because it's all interconnected in unique ways. It's not just a hitter versus a pitcher. It's not just that matchup. It's not a spray chart that shows you where the balls have been hit. There's so much interaction between both sides, your offense, your defense. What did Pete say yesterday? Man, our D-line loves it when our O-line mashes people. It energizes them even on the sidelines to go out there. And just so many of the... Yeah, just so many of the benefits that come off of that run game for protection, for play action pass, for third downs, they're all just so interconnected.
But that's only half of it. The other half, Brock, I think, is what they've done. Certainly the secondary, but then even more so, just the change in leadership and, you know, removing some of the barriers for the next generation to come up and lead. And that meant moving on from Richard Sherman and his kumbaya and everything else. It mean moving on from Michael Bennett and the distractions he was starting to cause. And I don't just mean off the field. I mean, getting thrown out of practice and fighting with a Fetty and everything else that Bennett did for with the team last year. Yeah. It meant just kind of clearing the way. And yeah, might even mean Cam Chancellor and Cliff Averill, even if they weren't necessarily problems. It's just allowing this next generation with Jaron Reed and Bradley McDougal and still Bobby Wagner and others, but this next generation to find a voice. And I like the personality that's starting to develop on this team. I really do. That's why I said it to Pete. They just kind of, they're different than the last couple of years. It's new storylines. I'm excited to root for Bradley McDougal.
Yep.
You know what? He hasn't turned himself into Richard Sherman yet. It feels like Sherman at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about Shaquille Griffin. And maybe in 5 years, you know, he'll be lying on national television about what did and didn't happen. But right now he's not, and I love him. I'm excited about DJ Fluker taking people to the water. Right? Maybe in a few years he'll be out there trying to do whatever it is that some of these other guys have done. But right now... Like, I just kind of am enjoying him, and I'm enjoying where he's at. So, yeah, I really like and appreciate where they're at as a team. Yep. They're 3-3. They get a bye. They go to Detroit and then home against the Chargers. And I think, they could really do something interesting. They may not. They may not accomplish all their goals this year, but I think they've already accomplished what they set out to do in the offseason. I'm really impressed with all that. Let's answer your questions and do it next. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Any question, any subject, all you got to do is text us, and we are fully prepared to answer it. Lydia's back. Kyle's here. Answer the question, jerks, next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk's Answer the Question, Jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, let's answer questions. 710-710. Powered by Coors Light, we answer your questions every morning at 9:45. Anything you got, you just text it on in. Text it on in.
Guess what I'm doing right now?
I don't know.
Going through my deleted files and permanently deleting them. Do you like to do that?
No, I never do it. But you delete everything.
How many deleted items do you have right now in your inbox?
I don't know. I never think about
10,000?
Occasionally it tells me that I need to because
so I look at the number right next to it and you see like 1,300. And you're
deleted?
Like, oh. Yeah.
It doesn't show anything. Doesn't say anything.
In your folder?
Deleted.
Yeah, deleted.
1,059. But what I won't have are unread emails ever.
Right.
I don't want them there for more than like 10
seconds.
No chance. I don't like seeing seeing the numbers on my phone.
I don't either.
I have zero notification
always,
numbers.
Right always, now Mike. You got to get right on.
I don't like that.
Good.
Bugs
next question.
Makes me uncomfortable. Jerks, when was the last time you had a mustache?
Never.
Never.
Never had a mustache.
Grow one.
Did you hear that Gardner Minshew quote, though? Where were you when you found out that you, that College Game Day was coming to Pullman? He said he was busy carving a mustache onto a pumpkin.
Oh.
Naturally.
Right?
Gardner also said that he's appreciative of all these people growing mustaches, wearing fake mustaches, but it's also made him have to commit to a mustache that he doesn't want.
Oh, no, really?
He's like, yeah, it's really taken off. It's great. I love the support. I kind of can't shave my mustache anymore, but I just plan to have this for training camp. But here we are.
Well, Movember's coming up, right?
Yeah, so between games, he like grows out the beard to hide it, and then Fridays, he shaves it to the mustache.
Oh, really? Wow.
Team player.
What a guy. Jerks, what is the one side dish that you could eat with any main dish? The most versatile side dish.
Specifically.
Wow.
Because you couldn't just go potatoes.
Right.
You got to go mashed potatoes.
I would think it would be, it would probably be French fries, though.
Rice?
Yeah. Oh,
rice.
Yeah.
We probably call it rice.
I like rice.
You eat rice with a steak, with chicken. With
like the right kind. Yeah, rice is probably right. But it's never the best. But it's serviceable. Yeah, it's the most versatile.
You know what's really good? Great stuffing.
Dude, you know I love great stuffing, but it's not versatile.
Don't get salt going on the Ritz stuffing.
Dude, I love stuffing's like my favorite thing, but it's
really
not the most
great
versatile.
Stuffing.
Rice is great because you can do rice, Mexican rice, Asian rices. I mean, like, you know, it's all over the map. Yep. Indian rice.
Next question.
Monty, brown.
Jerks, so when it comes right down to it, who brings more effervescent positivity? Lydia or Pete?
Pete.
I don't know.
Pete. Lydia.
I think Brock said it. Pete.
Lydia.
Pete just wins.
Pete.
I wonder if we would just have, like, we would just explode positivity-wise if we were too, like, in the room
together
too long.
Why don't you start coming down to the Pete Carroll show?
Yeah, the difference.
Just so jacked up.
I would say the difference, and not to judge here, but the difference is Pete's energy is just 100 all the time.
Right.
It's just like too much. It's like Herm Edwards yesterday. It was 6 o'clock at night. And he was, I mean, he's like, what do you want me to do? I wake up at 4. This is the way I am. It's the way I'm wired, okay?
Dude.
You know, it's just like, whoa. Wait till you see some of the video. Howdy brought the camera down. And usually Howdy went to him. He's so nice. Howdy is so nice in those situations. So deferential. And I'm just going to take a couple still shots and everything else. And Howdy couldn't turn the camera off because it was just, you know, for an hour, he just does not stop. So wait till you just watch some of the videos of Herm in the podcast that we taped for Above and Beyond.
Exhausting. I'm getting tired just thinking about
it. Yeah. And so I would just say, like, from a total energy, like, I can't imagine Pete with a blanket in the garden book reading. I can't do that.
No. That's a good point.
So his positivity just explodes on you all the time, where Lydia's just, you know, constant, steady stream of positivity.
Some notes coming from the NFL owners meeting. Both Jim Irsay and Jerry Jones saying they expect the Seahawks will be sold. But both also pointing out they don't think they'll move. Is that even a consideration?
Move?
The Seattle Seahawks will leave Seattle? That's not on the table.
No.
Does it surprise me that these men waited 24 hours? No.
Right.
Instead of doing what Pete Carroll said, you know what, let's not talk about this now. There will be ample time for that. And I know this is an owner's meeting. This was the news, and I'm sure they were asked about
it.
But
it's
been very easy
for
Jerry and for Jim to say, you know what? We're going to honor Paul right now. We're not going to get into that.
Yeah.
There will be other time for that. Can we honor Paul, please? Nope, can't do it. Can't help himself.
Jerk, speaking of Paul Allen, would you rather have a private jet or a yacht?
Jet, no question.
The jet is just gives you so many options.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the same as the rice argument, right? Just more versatility.
That's right. You'd use it more often.
Anywhere and everywhere.
Jet, I mean, yacht would be nice.
You take your jet and fly to a yacht.
It's a little somewhat seasonal. I guess you take it to where the weather doesn't change.
I'd get sick on the yacht.
You like being on a boat? You like it?
No, I get sick. Jerks, you ever stop to pick up hitchhikers?
Twice.
You have?
No.
I won't do that. I've hitchhiked.
Really?
Not since high school.
Oh.
But I wouldn't do that. What's the upside?
How many hitchhikers do you ever see?
Not as many. But like when we were kids in the 80s, I feel like we weren't that far removed from the 60s and 70s when hitchhiking was still kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And now, like...
You'll see one at the loop-de-loop there in North Bend.
Rare to see hitchhikers.
Yeah, now you'll see some out there in North
Bend.
Don't
be a victim of presidency bias, Saul.
Yep. I try not to be. Thank you.
They're trying to hitch a ride across the mountain, so I'll see him there, but no.
Jerks, my office manager threatened to take away my internet because I watch your live stream. Thoughts? Yeah, I would take it easy. Start doing it on the app.
Yeah, get your office manager on the phone.
710 Sports app. It's driven by your Puget Sound.
We'll call your office manager. We'll talk.
Appreciate that, though. That's nice. I'm glad you enjoy watching us on the stream.
Let us know how we can serve you better.
Jerks, if you could only eat at one chain restaurant forever, what would you pick?
These are great questions today.
And it's got to be a chain restaurant. It can't be a fast food chain, I would say. Like it's got to be a sit-down chain restaurant.
Like a Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, would that be your answer?
No.
One of the best candidates.
To me, it would be Red a debate Robin? Between either Chili's.
No.
I like Chili's.
No, no.
I like Chili's.
Stop.
No.
TJ Fridays.
No.
Okay.
I know.
No, enough with
Hit the play out.
But
it's
I think my answer would be Outback.
I don't know where you've drawn the line between your ridiculous jokes. And
what would you say? You need a national
Red Robin's a consideration.
Yeah, I think those are better than Red Robin.
You're nuts. Get out of
Maybe here. Cheesecake Factory because you'd have a million options.
Yeah. God,
well, only because you'd never get through the entire menu.
Yeah, I know, but you'd be so fat. That's the most
You don't have to eat cheesecake the entire time. You could eat salad the entire time.
Yeah,
you've got 50 salads.
Their salads have like 2,000 calories in one salad.
Dressing on the side, bro.
You're right. Outback Steakhouse is going to be much more calorie friendly.
So healthy.
It's mostly protein.
Chili's is way better.
1,000 calories in it.
Chili's is better, I think.
Wow, that's wild.
Jerks, you prefer to do green light clockwise or counterclockwise? I've thought about this so much. It depends which way the wind is going. I want to run with the wind as long as possible. And that's like the stretch around 99 is the longest portion. So that's whatever way...
So as the wind blows is the way salt blows.
That's right.
Oh, great.
It's the only way to do green light. That's my advice.
Right. Good. Well, I get to
whichever way the helicopters were circling last night around green light.
Spend a few hours with you tomorrow morning again.
Can't wait. All right. Enjoy Phoenix. I'm sorry Howdy's not there.
Yeah.
Go to Pizzeria Bianco tonight.
All right.
We got to run. We'll catch you guys tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Until then, the hey.
Barn.
See you, everybody.
Get to the chopper!